I should never order ice cream. Can I please have a large soft serve and a cone with sprinkles?
That rules out the window.
People say fat girls shouldn't wear bathing suits, let alone a two-piece. You know what I say? All day, every day. People say fat girls aren't into fitness. You'd never catch a fat girl going hiking. LOL. Fat girls shouldn't kayak. We're too fat to kayak. People say fat girls shouldn't wear crop tops. I wouldn't be caught dead in one.
You know who I really hate, John?
No, tell me.
I want to put them on the screen here for a second. Check this out, guys. I don't hate anyone probably more than people like this. And of course, you know, I'm referring to conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Does anybody piss you off more than actual conspiracy theorists?
No. I mean, I flew in on Spirit Airlines this morning, and I can tell you one thing. I was not mad at anybody except conspiracy theorists throughout the entire duration of my flight.
Yeah, pretty much every bad thing that has happened this last year, including Black Lives Matter being peaceful, the idea of the scamdemic, anything that you can look at that went wrong was the absolute basis of Democrat voters, of left-wing conspiracy theorists, statists, communists, global elites coming together to just collectively ruin all of our lives without any basis of fact, knowledge, or understanding, and they spread it as if it's truth.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, like looking around in the pinnacle of bureaucracy, which would be public transportation, particularly air travel. And it's like, we right now are the least free people in the history of the world. Even at the height of the Russian Revolution, the Bolsheviks would not come to your house and break up public gatherings. And even now we have our own form of like the secret police and people ratting on each other for having public gatherings or for not like wearing masks or something, and people strong arming other people and ganging up on them and kicking them out of stores. We are like literally the least free population that has ever existed on the face of the planet. And we're not even done yet with the things that are being introduced as far as vaccine passports, etc. So
yeah, and there's a name for this, guys. I want to introduce you to a special name. I'm sure you've heard of them. You've heard of the right-wing version of this called QAnon, which of course is the, again, over-exaggerated conspiracy theory that people continually act like is an actual big deal in the country and isn't just a bunch of like boomers and people following a leaderboard.
Yeah.
They pretend like this is like a very organized movement. We actually have a definition for the new left-wing version. It's called BlueAnon, hashtag BlueAnon. If you're not familiar with this, this is actually a loosely organized group of Democrat voters. We've also seen this as recently even inspire terrorism at the Capitol building when a Nation of Islam follower actually ended up killing a Capitol police officer. So this actually leads to terrorism. This is a very dangerous group of Democrats, politicians, and media personalities who spread left-wing conspiracy theories such as the Russia hoax, the Ukraine hoax, Brett Kavanaugh. But it's a lot worse, John. I'm telling you, this is gets a lot worse, which is why we're talking about this today. They've even done things like spread the fact that obesity is healthy. They've also spread, I know, that fatness is good. And on top of that, which we're going to find out, that's actually killed more people than COVID, that lie, right? They've killed more people than the virus in the United States, and I'll explain why. But also, too, they've also spread the lie that, you know, we have the most popular president in history sitting right now in the Oval Office. I mean, these are damaging things, including the fact that my favorite one that we're going to talk about today is that Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd by putting his knee on his neck. I mean, that one's a knee slapper. That's a bad joke.
That one affects me personally. I do have to say, if you go back in the bloodline, actually, Derek Chauvin's like my fourth or fifth cousin. I'm not even kidding.
It's a good thing you have that shirt on.
Well, I know I have to, just to let everybody know. But like the Chauvin, it's like a French name. And there was a point where that separated from Viancourt, which goes back like three generations. But like, yeah, literally, I mean, that's a theory that affects my family personally.
Well, I think it's time that we call out the BS. You know, we got to call this out. We are joined today by Savannah Hernandez, who is here in studio. She is the producer. She is back. We also have John Doyle from Heck Off Commie. You can find at John Doyle as well. Isn't your website just johndoyle.com?
Heckoffcommie.com.
Never mind.
True.
You can find him there. He's joining me in studio. And on that note, before we jump and bust everything out here, and I'm talking about busting a lot out here with these very heavy set people and some major facts out there to debunk these blue and on conspiracy theorists, welcome back to Slightly Offensive. We are the best worst show on Blaze TV, and you know that. Yeah, boom. We have confetti. Can we get some confetti for John, too? Can you go to John?
I've never had this. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I need confetti, too. Yeah, let's just there. Everyone all gets right. Confetti today, okay?
Everyone gets confetti. Woo! After we debunk every conspiracy theory, we will go ahead and we will You spunk
bust
out.
It.
I was, what is
everyone
that?
Gets confetti.
Everyone gets confetti
nothing
right
is
in the
sacred.
Face. Right in the face, even children watching. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I am at least your top 17 host, something I'm very proud of. As I always say, if I'm not one of your top 17 hosts, since there's only about like maybe 15 of us left that haven't been banned off of YouTube that still speak the truth, hey, well, I'm doing something wrong. Before we jump into today's story, I got to tell you guys something important. With all the insanity that is going on, it is important not only that you defend yourself with body armor, that you, you know, defend yourself with the offense, with guns, but like, where do you store those weapons? That's a good question. Well, I can tell you exactly where. With a Northwest Retention holster, even with a belt or some sort of cradle system that they make, designed and made here in the United States, a small business with the most amazing owners. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This company not only protects your weapon, but they have goals beyond that. This is a trustable business that is somewhere where you should spend not only your hard-earned money, but you should trust to hold your weapon that you would trust with your life. They have a goal number one, that they bring you the greatest quality, value, and service to the marketplace. I can guarantee that. I have one. Sav has one. You see her modeling that very beautifully right there. All of the Simps be screenshotting right now. Number two, they have innovative and continue to build the best quality lifestyle gear in the industry. And number three, and most importantly, guys, is they show gratitude. I always like a company that gives back. They help their fellow man. They build relationships, train, and educate people around them. They're a personal company and work to bring the very best product to their customers. Go to their website right now and see all that they have to offer, from premium quality and satisfaction, guaranteed holsters, to belt systems, to even chest holsters. They also have a lifetime warranty. You can always trust a company that trusts their own products. That's absolutely true. And they've got you covered. Go to nwretention.com. That's the letter nwretention.com. And use the code OFFENSIVE to get 10% off your entire order. And you're not going to want to miss this. Go to nwretention.com. Use code OFFENSIVE for 10% off the best holsters in America. I can back that with my life. Let's talk about fat people. And I'm not talking about just people that have, look, my chin's hanging a little bit. I had a couple pickleback, mixed drinks last night, maybe left me a little puffy. I could lose 5 pounds. We could all get healthier. I want to get into something that is near and dear to my heart right now, which is the morbidly sickly, deadly obese people. The ones who hide snacks under their fat rolls and they parade, you know, caloric excess from their waistline and boast about it. We're going to talk about our first conspiracy theory that has actually led to the deaths of a few hundred thousand people possibly in our country just this year alone, outside of the normal death rate, which is already in the hundreds of thousands. And that is the lie that obesity is healthy. I'm sure you've heard this before. Go to this article here from Scary Mommy. Scary Mommy. I don't know. That's very creative. Recently, we had this movement from Cosmopolitan, which they said that trolls were accusing this body positive movement of promoting obesity. And this is what the left always does with these conspiracy theories. They always say they accuse us of doing the very thing that they're actually doing. They're like, dude, they're basically calling critical race theory racist when it is. They're saying that we're praising obesity, when literally the magazine cover, by the way, from Cosmopolitan has somebody that is obese. And it says specifically that this is healthy.
Yeah, that's actually exactly pulled out of Saul Alinsky's playbook, Rules for Radicals. Like, accuse them of what you're actually doing, which isn't to disparage that book. There's actually a lot of things that the right could learn from that book. But it's just so interesting to live in America how we do now, where, what is it, the sperm count of the Western man is going to reach zero by 2045. Everybody's fat. Everybody's like depressed. The life expectancy in this country has decreased for the first time in recorded history because people are committing suicide and overdosing on drugs. Testosterone's down 40% in the last four decades. They're putting literally like estrogens and BPAs and phytoestrogens into our food supplies. Corn syrup, you want to talk about fat people and conspiracy theories? Corn syrup, which is subsidized by the government and designed to like fatten things up. Like, everything in this country is designed and oriented to make you fat and depressed and apathetic and pacified and lazy. But we're making progress because people are wearing two masks now instead of one, and two men can kiss each other on national television. And that's like the progress.
Well, I'm glad we're making progress.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing something, some light at the end of the tunnel there.
I know. I listed a lot of things there, but don't you worry. Men can kiss.
Yeah. You know, and also the other things you can do is gorge yourself on YouTube. And by the way, I want to bring this up about this as we get into this conspiracy theory and how it killed almost like a million people in the last year in this country alone, is that, you know, on YouTube, they don't demonetize morbidly obese people spreading the message of obesity, which actually kills people, but they will demonetize you if you speak the truth about social and cultural issues, which True. Actually saves lives. And this is where they're at. And I want to say this before we get into exactly how this killed people. This has been going on for some time. The media has been trying to make people fat, specifically targeting women, telling women that they are beautiful when they are obese, that fat is a beauty standard that is only thought of as gross because men in the patriarchy have deemed it to be unattractive, completely failing to talk about all of the health risks and all of the comorbidities and issues that this can bring that can actually lead to an early death and most likely will. They have said that the issue with this is beauty, which is where we get into, of course, our good old British, which I'm not a fan of. I like the British right wing, but I don't like the British in general. You got articles like this stemming back from 2018 saying why we're so proud of our fat bodies. And you just have this unit, you know, just a heifer. And I'm not fat shaming. I just a total unit with the blue hair. Right? It doesn't get any more stereotypical than this.
I'm fat respecting. I mean, a lot of calories and dollars went into sculpting that body.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like a biscuit before it was cooked. You know what I mean? Just smashed together to make a snowman in real life. And I want to say, you get articles like this, right? They always like to bring intersectionality and black people. And this is what's going to be crazy. They literally, this article might be responsible for the death of this woman. You get this profile from NM23 from Birmingham. Like, isn't it, right? I love the way I look and feel because I just feel comfortable, isn't it? I don't feel any different for anyone else. You know, they always talk, like, always like slur their words. I don't speak.
Yeah, you sound like Michael Jackson.
Well, hey, that works. She probably does sound like Michael Jackson. We don't even know if it's a girl. She says, I wake up and I see myself as a normal person. I always tell people that I love my belly and I love my boobs. Those are the squidgy parts. They might be seen as fat to someone else, but to me, it's just comfortable. There's no one out there is going to tell you that you're beautiful when you're fat, simple as. If you find someone who does, treasure them, appreciate them, and tell them how good they make you feel. Don't be that person who is always demoralizing someone or always being judgmental because you have your flaws. And so this was the kind of stuff being pushed for years. And then what happened in 2020? Something happened that came out that, like, from China or something. I don't know where it came from. And we saw years of propaganda telling women and men that fat was good, it was beautiful, that you owed nobody anything, and you were a fat, beautiful black woman. You have no one else to prove to anybody.
You know, the black women are the most obese demographic in the country. 80% of them are either overweight or obese. I say this not maliciously, as a black person respecter myself, an expert. Can I get that lower third, black person expert, please? Thank you, Savannah. I say this just to, you know, discuss the problem and to, I guess, work from there towards solving it.
Yeah, but I want to bring this up. So when we get into this, though, as a conspiracy theory that actually ended up killing people, the point of this is that as we found this out, that this conspiracy theory led to more deaths than pretty much any conspiracy theory in the last year. We had this article from CNBC that says that the study finds that about 78% of people were hospitalized for COVID were overweight or obese. That means more than 3 out of 4 people. Right. And this doesn't include the comorbidity of being old, because the average age of death is still 78 for COVID. It turns out that years and years of this propaganda actually led to the pandemic, that if we were to source back the actual cause of this absolutely real, definitely not inflated numbers pandemic that is for sure cannot be questioned across the country, the single biggest factor to this, beyond even the Chinese, would be just people being fat.
Yeah. And even on a larger timeline than that, I'm pretty sure for the last like decade, at least, of the top 10 most common causes of death, at least half of them are lifestyle related, particularly like heart disease, because people are just fat and sedentary now.
Yeah. And that's what we're watching. This is Nico Avocado. He's a YouTuber.
That's a he. That looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy went through a goth phase.
I think that one's a girl.
The one on the left either. That's not even like a man. Is that a man?
Which one? I'm sorry. I'm just over here laughing. I'm trying to listen to you guys and also just go through this B-roll. You know what? I'm not even joking when I tell you, John. I started gagging going through the Nico Avocado YouTube channel because it's that gross.
I mean, are we?
I'm not trying to be mean.
Are we going to get in trouble for this episode? Probably.
Probably.
But to go into this further, to say, well, like, hey, what about this? Like, what do you mean? How do you know that these people are murdering people? Right? This is that promotion of obesity. You know that COVID death rates, according to consumer.healthday.com, this is also backed up by The Hill, Washington Post, probably all as credible as each other. You know, just really amazing journalistic integral
it's like
websites.
The meme of those like Ethiopian war generals who are just like their entire uniform is decorated in medals. And it's like me and the boys when the teacher has us grade our papers for each other. It's like the same thing. Like AP's like source for this is Washington Post. And the Washington Post is like source for this is MSNBC. They're all just like buddies. One big group chat that we're not in.
It is a disinformation circle jerk, and I can tell you that they said this though, that COVID death rates were 10 times higher in countries where most are overweight, according to this report. So in our country, about 42% of the people are obese, and over half the country is overweight. It's hard to measure that. And I'm not here to, you know, a lot of people watching this probably struggle with weight. You're busy. You live your life. I know it's hard, and some people have genetic factors, but most obesity is just because you just eat too much and you're sedentary.
No, that's the thing though. It's like and that's the other thing about this too. Like we often point out degeneracy in society when it comes to things like sexual behavior, but like gluttony and lust, gluttony and sloth are forms of degeneracy that affect probably more people than even like sexual degeneracy. And even like with the women thing, breaking down the family structure, if you can make women fat, that will harm the family structure more than making men fat, because women don't regard physical attractiveness to be as important as men do. And so if you can make more women than men fat, like men are not going to be attracted to them. And it's just going to like eventually a butterfly into something where we are, something like where we are now. But why?
I was just like, I saw the script. It's like, it says like obese. It says obesity B-roll. Like it literally has this at
but
the top.
But it's not my fault. Like this is literally what's on YouTube. I don't know how I got to this portion of YouTube, but I'm like, we in this country. Okay. This is the worst part of all of this too, is these YouTubers that I'm playing, they are able to afford $1 million mansion homes because we in America promote this so much that they're able to monetize on the fact that they're so unhealthy that they're morbidly obese that they can buy $1 million mansions. So that's where we're at.
And that's why. And we're promoting this. That's what I'm saying. We're getting people rich and we're promoting a doctrine that kills people. But here's the point. Speaking of medical disinformation, which I am surprised that nobody took action on this. I don't know if you saw this, but then the solution to the obesity that's actually causing the COVID deaths was when Krispy Kreme, who actually makes a pretty darn good donut, I'm not going to lie, it actually is good, gave a free Krispy Kreme vaccine donut to anyone who got the vaccine. And this article from CNET, a tech company, don't know why they're talking about this, is telling you how you can get a free donut every day. And it says in really nice writing, you know, someone actually took time to write this, which is humiliating. Do not wait to get your COVID-19 vaccine. A free daily Krispy Kreme is on the line. Here's how to qualify, how long the promotion runs, and what you can get. And this is actually a picture of a donut
being
eaten with a COVID-19 vaccine card. And it's like, they're literally saying, get your vaccine. It's like, how about you just didn't eat a donut and you didn't get a vaccine and you were just healthy and then the virus didn't affect you at all and you were just cool.
Yeah. Promotion is really a key thing too in this, because like you mentioned, people struggling with their weight, it's pretty difficult to not struggle with your weight in modern society, mm-hmm. especially with the types of food that are literally subsidized by the government. Not because they want to make us fat so that we, you know, are fat and lazy and apathetic towards everything that they're doing, but just as a byproduct of, you know, government intervention in the economy. But like people who are struggling with that, no one has any contempt for them. It's the people who promote it as though it's healthy, which has that wider spread effect, like you mentioned, with the hundreds of thousands of deaths over the last decade, at the very least. Those are the people that we need to be criticizing, because they are promoting this, which is a cope for their own probably inner insecurities about their lifestyle and the way that they look, which they know is wrong, because the human body's not supposed to look like that. It's just not. So
are you seeing what I'm seeing on screen? If you guys are the blind, if you guys are the blind viewers listening right now, this is by the way, not a critique on the fact that people struggle with weight, because like you said, it's almost impossible not to in society, unless you have a natural low body fat percentage, or you're young, or you have some sort of a very active metabolism. But for the average person, I mean, when you're talking about convenience, even when it's like $1.29 for a double cheeseburger at McDonald's, and then, you know, to go anywhere else to get a salad, let's say at like Zoe's Kitchen or just somewhere else that's healthy, it's going to pay like $14.99.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're on the go and you're moving and you have kids and your life is busy, it's very hard to make the right choice, especially with the compulsive additive part, with the sugars and the fat and the different things that bring the cravings and the addiction.
Yeah.
There's a lot of components to it too, beyond just self-control, that can be even chemical.
Yeah.
But it's like, when we're talking about this, you know, the CDC brought this up. It's very interesting that we've seen that the major factor to leading to death in almost all cases of the coronavirus is obesity. The CDC has failed to mention the fact that that's what's actually killing people, but yet they bring up adult obesity facts saying that it's a serious and costly disease. That they said 42.4% of people in the country are obese. And that, you know what, the prevalence increased over the last, decade or decade and a half from 30 to 42%. That's insane. We had about a 12% increase of obesity. Obesity-related conditions include heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It actually costs the country $147 billion. And if you estimate in the cost of the pandemic, we're talking about probably upwards of maybe into the trillions. It's possible at this point. Hundreds of billions for sure. That if we were not a fat nation, we simply would not have had this pandemic problem to the extent that we've had it. And it's like, that's the conspiracy theory. We were fed, no pun intended, the lie that what we all could be is fat, lazy, and sedentary. And then a real problem came and said, actually, if you're lazy, fat, and sedentary, you're probably going to exacerbate natural problems, like, let's say, a virus that may or may not have been engineered, who knows. But I'm just saying that this is saying, now we're seeing the real consequences, and still, the blue and non-conspiracy theorists will not admit the truth that they have been spreading lies for about a decade, and those lies killed innocent people in this country. The blood of very fat, high caloric count, waistlined people is on their hands.
That's the scary part, too, about being, lazy, fat, and sedentary, is like, our entire lives are oriented towards comfort above all else. Like, it's at a point where people will be like, oh, I'm already in bed, but I need to charge my phone. I'm just going to let it die. I'm not going to get out of bed. It's like, to have that as your overriding ambition, the pursuit of comfort, then what happens when a government comes in and actually tries to take your rights away and like lock you down? You don't have the willpower to actually take action, because that would be uncomfortable. You're afraid to do that because your priority is nothing else than just comfort and convenience and a sedentary lifestyle. Everything from the Lazy Boy recliner to now we have Netflix instead of Blockbuster, which, you know, some of the like libertarians will be like, oh, is the free market at work? It's like, dude, I don't care. If I were king for a day, I'd like mandate that Blockbuster comes back. That was part of our culture that disappeared. My sister's fiance, he used to go up to Blockbuster with his dad, and like his best memories are sitting there, you know, talking with the guys about the movies, like, oh, you're not gonna like this one, you should watch. Like, there was this relationship that was established, and you would go on a Friday night and it was like a thing. And now it's like people, oh, well, no, I have Netflix, and so I can watch more things that you want. First of all, the Netflix catalog sucks. People only have it for The Office, and I don't even know if that's still on there anymore. And it's like, now people don't watch Netflix because they want to watch a particular program. They're just so lazy. They're just like, I'm just going to turn on Netflix and try and find something, and then I can't find something because the overriding ambition is comfort and convenience.
Like that. You see, this is a mukbang person walking around with a walker.
Just waddling.
Just waddling in to be obese. I mean, like, it's gross and it's sad. And I want to tell you guys something. This is why it's more important now more than ever, as we get into our next conspiracy theory, we talk about this and the degeneration of our country. You guys honestly just live a comfortable life where it actually counts, which is down there, which is why I want to talk to you guys about Tommy John. Guys, you have heard me speak about this underwear for a while, because it's not just underwear. It's absolute heavenly comfort that you just snap on. There's no belts. There's no ties. There's no strings. This is a beautiful pair of undergarment, and I'm telling you, I wear them everywhere, and I especially wear them when I'm out on the field, because they don't ride up, they breathe, they don't smell. They're just amazing, high-quality underwear. You can't even beat them, especially Calvin Klein or other companies that try to compete. I'm sorry, you're not Tommy John. Guys, with 13 million pairs sold, please, balls across America honestly love these underwear. Mine do, and yours can too. Everything stays in place. There's no flopping, sticking, or chafing. It's just the brutal honesty that we have to bring you here at Slightly Offensive. And right now, you can get 20% off your first order if you go to TommyJohn.com/offensive. Honestly, 20% off, right? So that's 20 for the two things below that matter the most. Honestly, but on top of that, if you're looking for something beyond just underwear, they have loungewear that's amazing. They have things for women as well. I got some sports bras for my wife. She loves them. Anyway, go to TommyJohn.com/offensive. That's TommyJohn.com/offensive to get 20% off your entire order. I encourage you to check it out. Please protect your junk for the things that matter most as we get into our next amazing conspiracy theory. So, obviously, you love black people.
True.
You wouldn't be wearing the shirt if you didn't.
Makes sense to me. Yeah.
Exactly. So you heard recently about what was going on with the voter ID law in Georgia. Basically, this conspiracy theory that requiring people to confirm their identity is a Jim Crow 2.0, that if you expect an ID from someone, it essentially means you hate black people. Maybe even worse. Maybe you want to return back to slavery. Maybe you want to see them deported from the nation. I mean, it's pretty bad. We've seen an uptick around the entire nation of companies, of sports teams, of governments revolting against Brian Kemp and what's going on in Georgia and this new requirement to try to reform election laws, telling us all that black people just cannot muster up the IQ, courage, or somehow convenience to apply for a state ID.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, before we even get into this, that's like the most racist piece of thing that you could ever say to anybody, that you believe that they are too dumb to be able to get a state ID, which I think amongst state required procedures might be one of the easiest things to get, which you also need to fly, buy alcohol, cigarettes, drive, etc.
That's the thing. It's like it's self-defeating in a premise, because if you look at like Nielsen consumer spending, black people disproportionately purchase cigarettes and alcohol and things that would require that identification, lottery tickets. And unless you're going to tell me that all these like liquor stores are in a conspiracy theory together to just like not card people, which I don't think is true, then it would suggest that they actually are perfectly capable of obtaining IDs. And what the actual reason is for them not wanting voter ID laws is so they can commit voter fraud or fortification. Excuse me, voter fraud.
Voter fraud doesn't happen. They just fortify elections.
Yeah, no, I misspoke. My brain has been rotted by decades of Fox News.
Yeah, you seem to be that. But you know what? What's funny, though, and this is the conspiracy theory. So they talk about, all these companies talk about how it's so racist for Republicans to want people to confirm their identity before they literally take part in what at least used to be, before this last election, one of the most significant, civic duty processes or whatever you could be involved in. Well, it didn't stop like airlines from coming in. United Airlines, Delta, American Airlines weighed in on this and was saying, you know, it says our mission is to connect people and unite the world. We believe that one of the most effective ways to do this is to engage in the democratic process, which begins with voting, a vital civic duty. America's democracy is stronger when we're all engaged and every vote is properly counted. And so, they came in and connected this, and I brought up something interesting. I just flew the other day on American Airlines, which is one of the airlines that signed these proclamations. And guess what? Not only did I have to show my ID to get into the terminal, not only did I have to confirm my ID to buy a ticket, then I had to take that said ticket and ID, go through a body scanner, and like get virtually raped and like molested by guards touching me because I had a belt on, mm-hmm. right? I got groped. And then I went in, had to wait in line, then show another ticket confirming with my name that was non-transferable, to sit in a seat that I couldn't change. And then on top of that, the airline also required me to put a piece of cloth over my face, telling me that I was literally trying to kill everyone on the plane if even slipped a millimeter between the tip of my nose. That airline company that required all that just to sit on their Airbus is telling us that it is racist to ask a black person just to be like, yeah, I am who I say I am.
Air travel is such a joke. Every time you're in the airport, it's just like, it's so hard to be a patriot when you're air traveling. Like, you're in the airport and you've got incessant CDC and TSA propaganda being regurgitated every like 90 seconds, and a third of the time it's in Spanish, and you're going through TSA and you're getting orders barked at you. It's just like, man, what are we even doing anymore as a country, you know?
You sound so demoralized.
I am. No, I apologize for the low energy. I traveled today. I'm tired. Just took an Advil.
Oh, my name's John, and because I work in media, I think I'm the only person who doesn't have to work when I travel. Welcome to the big leagues.
You literally work like 5 hours a week, maybe.
Oh, man, that makes me laugh. Hey, you know what? I've traveled a lot. I've paid my dues. I got a lot more dues to pay. There's going to be some riots probably coming up for George Floyd, which we're going to talk about. But honestly, when you're getting into this, you know, all these companies were talking about the poor plight of black people, just unable to get IDs. And it's what's funny is that, like, you know, you saw this too. This is a real picture, not doctored, by the way. Delta's like, yo, I just need an ID to get on. And of course, you know, AOC is like, no, requiring ID is racist. You know, and what's funny is that she was a bartender, right? She's saying that requiring IDs is a racism thing. Did she not check IDs when she was serving alcohol to people? Were they black? And she was like, oh, no, you're black. You get the Hennessy for free. Like, yeah. I'm not going to check your ID. It's like a six-year-old kid, because that'd be racist.
Yeah, he's just like, here's my ID, miss. And she's like, it's okay. I don't need to see it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know you can't get one of those.
It's okay. I've read the bell curve.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, she's like, ma'am, you literally had a job where you checked ID for a living. And now you're saying that it's racist. Are you a racist? I don't know. But I wanted to get into this voter ID bill to actually talk about what's in it. Nobody's talking about what's in the bill. Okay, everyone's talking about how it's so bad, it's evil, and they always avoid getting into the actual nuances of what happened here. So what is in the Georgia law? Let's talk about this. Among the most high-profile provisions of the controversial new Georgia election law is a change in how the state verifies the identity of voters who request and cast absentee ballots. The change eliminates signature matching, a process that can be subjective at times, as a method of confirming absentee voters' identities. Instead, if voters have a driver's license number or a state ID number, they are required to use that to verify who they are. So they basically just said, like, it was hard to verify signatures. It's easier just to have a number from your ID.
Makes sense to me. Yeah.
But that's racist.
No, it is. Like, it makes sense to me, but then I'm white, and so I have to remember that, like, my brain...
Logic is racism.
No, it is. It's a construct of white supremacy, according to the taxpayer-funded African-American History Museum in D.C., along with things like a focus on work ethic, punctuality, and time, which I demonstrated a lack of today, being 10 minutes late, all sorts of different things.
Savannah, I know that. I'll never ask you to show your ID because I just want to be sensitive to you here in the studio. I don't want to cause any problems.
That's why she got the confetti.
Yeah. Confetti of color.
The consolatory confetti. The participation trophy.
We just really needed to be seen on this show. And so anytime I can add color into, you know, the show here, I do. I really do.
Right. But, you know, we found out that it's not just Georgia that's racist, right, Savannah? Everybody's racist, right? Because this is racist. It's racist to ask for IDs. We also found out a few companies recently. Instagram is a racist company. Check this out. Ooh. I tried to get verified and wanted to ask, please attach a photo of your ID. Oh, so black influencers can't get verified now? You don't want black people to be successful in the entertainment industry? You don't want black people to be able to get their videos out there? You don't want Lil Nas' satanic worship video to get out to more young children?
Literally, I was about to answer yes to those questions. Like, after that Lil Nas X video, like, maybe we can take a break. I don't know.
That was a lot to watch. I don't think any community needed to see that, but here we are.
Yeah, and did you also know, too, one thing that I know from following Lil Nas on Twitter, who's a great cesspool of information, is that on the scene in the video, he specifically had the digital graphics team had him go upside down on the stripper pole from heaven to hell so that he actually made a cross sign. So he was on upside down cross on a stripper pole. So he was like the Antichrist. That's a real thing. And he admitted that on Twitter. So, I mean, like, maybe we just start taking these people off their word.
I mean, yeah. What was the verse that he put on the shoe? I think it was like Luke 10:18, which was describing Lucifer's fall into hell. And I think the immediately succeeding verse was like the one that gives us permission to, like, I give you the authority to, like, step on snakes and basically conquer evil. So
I'm sure Lil Nas, like, his snake stepped on. That guy's got some serious fetish problems. That's another statement for another time. Savannah's like,
like, you know what? The amount of things that I've dealt with in this show today, I can't.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that one, chill, kids. Okay. But, you know, so Instagram, all these companies condemn this, right? Saying that this is just poor little black kids can't get their little IDs. But also what was made me laugh, too, is, oh, one of my followers made this. That's like, if the world was actually consistent, AOC removed from office after it was discovered she racistly asked for customers' IDs while bartending. That was if we were a serious country and we really were consistent. We might actually do something like that. But on top of that, this is what made me laugh the most. So PayPal was talking about how this was just, you know, horrible against black people. Black people are just too stupid to be able to vote. And so someone said, PayPal, can you please let my account open up without an ID? PayPal responded, great question. We usually require a customer confirm their identity with a government-issued photo ID. Regrettably, we are unable to bypass this step if it is requested. And so it's like... literally,
all of those things are demonstrably, unequivocally less important than voting. Instagram verification, PayPal microtransactions, like, none of that is even remotely close to voting in terms of importance. It's just, it's ridiculous that we allow, like, voting is, like, elevated to this, like, civic duty. It's your civic duty to tell people what you think. I don't understand how you could drive on a public road or use the internet, explore the comment section on a YouTube video, and still think, I'm glad all these people get a say. I'm really glad that everyone here gets to decide things that will affect me.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to say, too, is that this is the other conspiracy that went on under it, was that somehow it's easier to buy a gun than it is to vote. You know, David Hogg said it should be easier to buy an AR-15 than it is to vote. It should not be. Well, it isn't. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm even waiting for my license to come in the mail in order to prove that I'm a Texas resident. I have to bring a social security number, a passport, a birth certificate. I have to bring two bills. Like, imagine if you had, like, to vote. They didn't just ask for voter ID. They asked for your electric bill, your passport. Yeah,
literally.
Like, what?
It should be easier to get an ID than to buy an AR-15. You need the ID to buy the AR-15. Like, you can't buy the AR-15 without the ID. So that, like, necessarily adds, according to you, like, that additional level of complication to the process. It's just, it's ridiculous. I've bought AR-15s before. Yeah, you need an ID, but, like, it's not an in-and-out process. I mean, I was there for, like, hours. Sometimes they randomly say, like, okay, you know, 24 hours, 72 hours before you can come get it, depending on your state. It's not at all an easy process.
No, it isn't. And that's what I want to say is that, you know, we hear that all the time. Do we have a clip that we can play where they're saying this even on ESPN? They're not even talking about the fact that it is. They're telling people this fact. And I will say this. I will believe that it's easier to buy a gun than it is to vote when we start compulsively mailing AR-15s to every citizen in California.
Yeah.
Multiple to houses, too, for people that used to live there in the past.
That's the thing. The founding fathers had a negative view of rights, which means that, like, rights shall not be infringed upon. So, like, I have a right to do this and you can't stop me from doing that. Well, now, the leftists are coming along and saying that the view of rights that we should have is a positive view of rights. It means you are entitled to things. Okay, let's be entitled to guns via the Second Amendment. Let's get, like, when you're 18 years old, you get a 2-day prime shipping AR-15 to your front door or something
that'd
like
be
that.
Sick.
Like a M249. That'd be epic. That's what's going to happen when we take power.
Yeah, check this out. This is what they're saying. They're actually pushing this. It's not just David Hogg. This is the mainstream media. Listen.
So instead of changing your messaging and try to reach out to a new base, what do? We're going to try to restrict so you can't. It shouldn't be harder to vote than to get a gun. Now, what's wrong with that picture, Skip? You notice that they're making it harder for you to vote than to get that gun. No, we don't want to do nothing with the gun, though. I want my Second Amendment. What is more democratic than their right to vote?
The democratic thing literally makes me cringe inside a lot, too, because we aren't the
democratic
thing
is cringe.
Well, I agree. But I also just makes me like everyone talks about the democratic process. Like, it should be harder to vote than it is now, actually. And we should be letting not everybody should not be allowed to vote. I think that was a bad decision. I think with the fact that you think one half the country has like an IQ under 85, I think. And you're thinking these people probably shouldn't vote. Are you saying there should be an IQ standard for voting? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't want dumb people that don't know anything being encouraged to get out and vote, being like, go out and vote when you don't even understand that the Academy Awards is rigged and that people are paying to get those awards. And that's why the movies always suck, because they don't care about even deceiving the population to thinking their movies are watchable anymore.
Yeah,
it's like everything's rigged. Everything's stupid. If you don't realize how everything's fortified and brought into the part, you should not be out there voting. And the fact that we've changed voting into this weird thing where it's like, it's everybody's duty. It's not everybody's duty. In fact, it never was entitled to be your duty, and it shouldn't be. And if you don't want to vote, you actually should not vote. And if you don't know anything about voting, you should not go out and vote, period. And that's why they always attack Republicans. Like, well, they're trying to make it harder to vote. Kind of, yeah. Actually, we are. Because we actually don't want stupid people voting. You're telling me someone's too dumb to get an ID, but you want them choosing who the president of the United States is. Think about that logic. Oh, that person can't apply for an identification card. They're too dumb to get a state ID. But yeah, they should determine who creates the policies for global relations and wars of this country. Shut the f*** up. Seriously.
Yeah, the founding fathers got that right. And that's the thing, too, like you're mentioning. A lot of conservatives nowadays will just be like, the founding fathers were geniuses, brilliant men ahead of their time. Well, what do you think about them saying that you shouldn't be able to vote if you don't own property? Oh, well, that was wrong. No, I love democracy. They studied the founding thinkers or the founders of Western thought. Like Plato, for example, articulated this very well with the ship. Like if you're on a ship, you don't want everybody getting a turn at the wheel. Like, hey, let's go this way and this way. You want the most competent people being in charge of the ship and its navigation, which ultimately will affect everyone on the ship. You don't want just everyone doing it for the novelty and the feel good of, well, yay, we all get a say. Like that's not how it works. When you're making big boy decisions, you need competent people making those decisions.
And I agree. And that's why, like, let's get into this next one. Let's get into the George Floyd, the conspiracy that George Floyd died from someone's knee on his neck. Okay. Let's talk about this. That just didn't happen. That's not what killed him. Okay. It's not. According to science, let's talk about the science here, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know that this has happened in a big twist? Julie Grant said that Maurice Halls, I always have a hard time saying some of these names. I don't know how to pronounce them. Don't know why they're spelled that way. But Maurice Halls' attorney says that his testimony could expose him to a third-degree murder charge, drug delivery resulting in death. Okay, so Maurice Halls is the drug dealer of George Floyd, who I believe we found out was the person that was in the car with him at the time of his arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So it turns out that, you know, the toxicology report of the autopsy says that George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose amongst several other factors, but it was not from just direct asphyxiation due to a knee being on his neck. So we already know that. The science says that the trial could be over today. Yep. We've proven that's not what happened. Now, whether or not that Chauvin actually, you know, broke procedure, or if there was something that he did wrong, you know, that could get him in civic trouble or something, I'm not going to comment yet on that. But it's interesting that if the state's legal theory is positional asphyxiation, why object to defense calling Hall as a witness is the fact that he's not willing to go as a witness. He's pleading the fifth, because since the toxicology report says that his drug overdose is what killed him, if his drug dealer testifies, he's going to be implicated as the person who actually killed him, which proves already from what we're seeing in information that the real cause of this person's death, they must know that it's not Chauvin if the drug dealer will not testify. If they're afraid that the actual penalty for the actual criminal accusation and charges are going to be shifted towards the drug dealer, this shows you how effed up this whole trial is they know Chauvin is not guilty to what they're charging him with.
Yeah.
I didn't say he's not guilty of anything. I don't know. I'm watching the trial, but he's not guilty to the charge that they're bringing him, second degree murder, for sure. But they're willing to withhold evidence and to withhold a witness intentionally to keep the blame off the person who appears to be actually responsible.
Yeah, and watching the trial, I've noticed that through all the state witnesses that they've brought, they've only acknowledged the use of substances once. I think in the opening statement or something, one of the prosecutors, and by the way, the guy who's in charge of Derek Chauvin's defense, his name is something Nelson. He's got one lawyer, and then that lawyer has an assistant. That team, that two-person team versus, I think it's somewhere between 12 and 15 prosecutors on this case. So it's actually just incredible legal work on Nelson's part. But the only time they've acknowledged the substance use was, I think, in the opening statement or opening remarks or something. And he said, the defense is going to try to make the case that he overdosed on fentanyl. But fentanyl is an opiate, and he would have been tired. But as you can see, he's resisting arrest, and he's, like, animated, and he's lively. So that's not true. That's the only time they mentioned it. And then they brought in a dozen people to cry and talk about how George Floyd was this saint and this great person and, you know, make everyone feel very emotional about it. But what the defense has presented and what they're going to continue to present is that the pills that he was on weren't just fentanyl. They were methamphetamine. So that's why he was, like, all over the place. He was, like, very, what's the word?
Erratic?
Yeah, he was erratic. He was stimulated. He was on methamphetamine and fentanyl, because what I believe happened is that he had pills and then he panicked because the police were there. And by the way, he was already, like, totally drunk. The reason he was still there when the police showed up is because he was passed out in the van after he left the convenience store. And the people came out and were like, hey, man, you know, you paid with a counterfeit 20. Just give us real money. We'll make this all go away. It's no big deal. And he refused. And so then the police came. They showed up and he was still there because he was passed out in the van. And then they confronted him and the situation escalated from there. But yeah, he panicked and he put the pills in his mouth, I guess, and that's what caused the overdose.
And it's not the first time, right? His Jack Posobiec released, as you saw on the screen there for a second, that George Floyd's girlfriend just testified that she had to rush him to the hospital 2 months before the arrest due to an overdose, spent several days in recovery.
You know what her nickname was? Did you hear about this?
No.
One of the viral clips of the George Floyd incident that made everybody weep tears was when he was crying out for his mom. Mama, mama. Turns out that woman's nickname was Mama. He called her Mama. So it's up in the air as to whether he was referring to his biological mother or to this girl who was his ex-girlfriend slash like lover slash co-addict. Like, they were both kind of in this destructive relationship together, or so I've heard. And so we won't know. And that's the thing. Like, the low information voter, they see the clips that are mass marketed to them by the mainstream media. They're not going to take the time to sit through 8 hours of deposition every day. It's just not going to happen. And frankly, they shouldn't be expected to. I feel like we have a right in this country to not be lied to. Maybe that's a violation of the First Amendment.
But no, we're lied to a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what I was bringing up last week. Like, we already know with the girlfriend, I didn't know about the mama part. We already know the man in the car was a drug dealer. We know that the prosecution witness testified that George Floyd was foaming in and out of his mouth, a notable indication of pathological fentanyl overdose, right? These are very important things. We also know that Ross recalls noticing white substance coming from Floyd's mouth during an overdose. Defense is painting this picture for jurors since Floyd has a similar reaction on the day of his death, right? This is not the first time that this has happened. We continually see this happening time and time again. And that's what I want to say. We've come to the point where these conspiracy theories are leading to real unrest. The idea that the media pushed that this man was killed in a racist attack from a police officer, this saint of George Floyd, I'm not going to use the F word again today. I'm sorry. But you know what?
Sav will have to work so hard to bleep out yet an additional F word.
Three whole curse words.
But no,
today.
But you know, I get pissed. I remember watching people being like even people I respect, they're like, what I just saw was terrible. It was horrible. I'm like, bro, have you ever watched Cops? What you saw was no different than anything I've seen on Cops, like at any time in history. It's like, no, what I saw. I go, no, what you're talking about is what you think you're feeling because you're being manipulated by a mass movement of a country thinking emotionally about something when they shouldn't, because you're easily manipulated. You're a weak person and you present yourself to be someone who thinks independently. You present yourself to be somebody who understands what's going on in the world. I don't care if you're an influencer, a sports player, you live in this country. If you reacted to that and made up your conclusion based off of the status quo emotional direction of the country, you're pathetic and you're weak. And that's no, there's no excuse. And I know when my sister called me and talked to me about it, I go, I know it's not what they're saying it is. And she goes, why? I said, anytime there's a mass national reaction to something emotional before the facts come out, I know it's by design and it's by manipulation, and I'm just not going to play into it. I would, of course, fight for somebody if they were actually murdered in cold blood. That's not what I saw. And everyone's like, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, well, why don't you go on the internet for more than 11 minutes? Because there's a lot of things like that that have occurred. And you know what? You're pretending this is the worst thing you've heard. And everyone acting like this when every day there's shootings and murders. Just here in Texas, somebody just killed their, I think it was a, was it an Indian or a Pakistan? I think it was an Indian immigrant or one of these countries. They just murdered their whole family and killed their sisters and their brothers. Like, that's demonstrably worse than what happened to George Floyd, easily. Not that what happened to George Floyd is not bad, but it's like this kind of stuff happens all the time, and to pretend like this was the worst thing that happened in 2020, you're just an absolute fool.
Yeah, I'm so sick of people pretending that they actually like do research into things. Like, there's this trend of young people and they'll put stickers on their laptops that are like, free thinker, question everything. I question everything. And you'll sit down with them at coffee or something, they'll be like, do you think there are aliens? Do you think that there's a reason that the Illuminati triangle's on the $1 bill? Do you think that? It's like, whoa, let me stop you there. What do you think about the official media narrative of the death of George Floyd? And they're like, they like flip out because it's embedded into their brains. Even the whole thing, like the conspiracy theories that you're allowed to have are all approved. Like, do you really think the CIA is like, no, they got a hold of the footage of the UFO? Oh, no. It's like, that's all being intentionally disseminated. Those are all approved conspiracy theories that you don't actually like question or look into things like the George Floyd narrative or what have you.
Yeah, and I know that. And I'm telling you guys this before we go any further. I want to remind you guys, please don't give in to conspiracies, especially when people are trying to cheat you and steal you on the worst kinds of deals, on predatory lending and whatnot. Because guys, there's a quick way for you to actually save money on either your car loan, your home loan, a credit card, refinance. And it's a way to get your finances back in control. I know a lot of you guys do not like to talk about your credit score. You don't look at it. It's like your bank account. You don't watch it. But I'm telling you, there is hope. This isn't just a credit repair system. This is something called ScoreMaster. And I've got to talk to you about this. This is credit science. And it's going to help you get your credit score up fast. One of the best things you can do for your life, other than probably get healthy, is to get your finances in order. And one of the key parts of that is getting your credit score up so that you receive the best rates on any type of investments you might make. And in fact, I'm going to tell you, if you go to scoremaster.com/offense, that's OFFENSE, that's scoremaster.com/offense, you can get your score up 61 points in 20 days. And I'm telling you, that can save you up to $100,000 on your home loan. It can save you a ton of money on your car or even on trying to get a new credit card. Guys, this is great for everyone. And it shows you the consequences as well if you spend too much or even if there's a problem with identity theft. Nobody does what they do. This is the best way you can enroll in minutes. Take control of your finances. See how many points that you can add to your credit score right now. Go to scoremaster.com/offense. That's scoremaster.com/offense and take control of your financial future. Learn it from me. I took control of mine and you should too. It's very important. This is a substantial way to actually benefit your life in the here and now. So let's talk about this. You said about not questioning narratives. This brings me up to an interesting point here. Let me get to this. You know, one of my favorite conspiracy theories right now, and we have to be careful with this one, is that Joe Biden is the most popular president in U.S. history. Have you heard about that one?
I heard about it. I support it. Yeah.
We're living it right now. We're living through one of the most popular presidencies in history, people.
I have to look at this because I like, it's so hard for me to know what lies they've made up that I'm like, have to double check what we even put in here. I want to remind you that he is so popular. If you pretty much go to any video of Joe Biden online, you will find very quickly that every video is massively ratioed in the downvotes. This one has 19,000 downvotes, 6,800 upvotes. I mean, these are all over the place. From the White House, 2,800 to 239. So from Jen Psaki, 1 week ago, 4,800 downvotes to 46 or whatever upvotes. And we also have Biden giving his remarks. He has 4,000 downvotes to 638 upvotes. I mean, the man virtually has no support.
Well, there's a couple explanations for that. The most obvious being Russian bots. But the one that I tend to subscribe to is that people were so excited by a point that he made so quickly that they just rapidly went to click the like button and they just missed. So
that happens sometimes on YouTube.
Yeah. Like,
well, can we tell you this? The most unpopular president in history, though, it's really weird because, like, if you look at side by side online, their videos, Trump on the left and Biden on the right, right? Trump has 246,000 upvotes and 20,000 downvotes. And then at the inauguration, which also has, like, by the way, I might add that Trump has 6.2 million views on his video. And then you look at Biden, the most popular president in U.S. history, right? So it's the least compared to the most. He only has 247,000 views on his inaugural address, which is, like, insane to even think that someone could get such low numbers. Must be a glitch.
He's got, my anti-porn dissertation, I think, got more views than that.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, proportionally. And that's the other thing, too. It's just not only the ratio of the likes to dislikes, but the engagement. Like you said, the most popular president, 84, 85 million votes, and he's got less than a quarter million views.
Yeah, and it's like, look at that. He's got 23,000 downvotes. Like, nobody even, like, proportionally liked this video. And what I mean is that people, this is why we're going to find out here in a second. This is really, really important. Check this out. Oh, yeah, I actually have one more video here. Look at this.
Yeah, because see, and I put this in, Elijah, because I was like, but not all of his videos are downvoted. Some of them are upvoted, like this one right here. Joe Biden trips three times while boarding Air Force One. 41,000 upvotes.
And only 4,200 downvotes, meaning he's, like, people only like the videos where he falls and stuff. And so before I get into this, by saying that this is, like, this is what I want to talk about, because we're not talking about fraud here, and we're not talking about fortifying elections, because that is something that we would never question. It's so realistic that he's the real president that I wouldn't even dare to question it. What I do want to question is his actual popularity, because the media says he's the most popular president in U.S. history with the country right now. And it's so weird that online, where honestly popularity is gauged, and I would say that in our culture, fundamentally, your engagement, your ratio online as a person, the president is now an influencer. It is. Everyone's got to engage in the vote. We've all got to get out our little pens and our little phones and get our little bubbles in and just get in like a little boy, you know, get a little boy into office. That's what it is now. It's a freaking joke. The whole election process is an absolute joke. People like when this guy messes up, and they don't like when he says anything. They don't watch when he says anything. And comparatively to the most hated president in the world, you'd expect to see a similar reaction, and it's just not the case.
It's literally like when North Korea will release statements like Kim Jong-un has a 99% approval rating in the updated count or something like that.
His penis totally is like 12 inches and all wives are satisfied.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wow, that's cool, Kim. Glad to know you're strutting your stuff. You saw that when they made him fake that he walked up a mountain? Like, we're in the same position. Do you remember that?
No.
And he got, you remember? So, like, they they got caught. They try to make a whole press release that Kim Jong-un walked up a giant mountain in dress shoes and a suit. But, like, it turned out that, like, a picture got leaked. He got dropped off in a helicopter. And they were like, look at our strong and fierce leader walked up giant mountain in beautiful shoes and never broke sweat. And that's what we have now, is like, look, our president walks upstairs without falling. And, like, that's where we're at.
See, in some ways, I would almost prefer the North Korean model, because, like, you know, if you're in North Korea.
Quote him.
If you know that if you're in North Korea, that your vote doesn't matter, and, like, you know, they're going to do whatever they want to do.
I don't think they vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. You literally can't even vote. Here, you can vote or whatever, but that requires either voter fraud or fortification, which makes your voice illegitimate, and then, like, brainwashing. So, because they're going to do what they want anyway. So they have to justify that with mass brainwashing. So I would almost prefer to live and be able to keep my thoughts and not have to suffer the consequences of just thinking things, and then just know that, like, my fat leader is going to fake climb a mountain or something.
At least you know that, because you know that this is, they got caught early on. He's so popular that Facebook, Instagram transferred accounts to the Biden administration accounts. They took everyone who followed Trump and they transferred the followers to his social account so that he would gain followers, to make it look like people wanted to follow his administration online and cared about what he was thinking. Mm-hmm. And you actually couldn't unfollow. For a while, they kept it stuck, so people had to stay followed to the administration. They dropped it after a couple weeks. But this is from Yahoo News, actually, is that Facebook on Wednesday confirmed that it has transferring the millions of followers of the official Facebook and Instagram White House accounts to the Biden administration. So they actually took millions of people who followed Trump, and they just forcibly put them on a president, which is a sign of popularity. When people force you to like somebody, force you to follow their content, it almost reminds me of our pages, where they force people off of our pages.
Because we're not popular.
I'm happy about that. I want them to transfer more of my people onto Biden. I think nobody knows what freedom is than a tech company in Silicon Valley deciding forcibly what content a person should and should not consume based off of predetermined criteria that they came up with against the will of the person. That's like a freaky, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree. Scholars of the founding thinkers of Western civilization over in Silicon Valley. That's how I've always kind of depicted them.
Yeah, and yeah, okay, maybe this is a bad example, but you know what's funny? If you actually watch The Social Network, the movie about Mark Zuckerberg.
Love that movie.
It's like, it literally, the movie is that Mark Zuckerberg has been a bad person since the start of his life, a narcissistic, horrible person with a bitterness against the world, and maybe your IQ a little bit. You remind me of Mark Zuckerberg, but nice.
I low-key have like always kind of related to that movie a little bit with the autism IQ.
You're like a Christian. You're like a Christian Mark Zuckerberg. But watching his interaction with women in the beginning, just I was like, John.
Well, okay. First of all, that's not true. That's not even remotely true.
I'm messing, dude. I'm messing. I just know that high IQ people have this real like dominance complex. And if you don't have the humility of God or Christ coming into you, you can become a very evil person. You have a high propensity to be very evil, but God has saved you from being a very evil person. He's actually, John is a great person, actually. And so it's like,
yes, yeah, Sav.
Yeah, John's great. Not mean at all. Not a misogynist ever.
Correct. You are saying things that are true. Yeah. However, your tone suggests.
No. This is all about truth. Yeah, I'm sorry. Please speak over me. Continue.
Thank you.
To talk about how you're not saying things.
Excuse me. You are saying things that are true. However, your tone suggests that you don't know that they are true.
My apologies, John. Anyways, I will adjust my tone.
The men were talking. Back to The Social Network. It's like what you said with Mark Zuckerberg has always been a terrible person. You clearly did not watch the last part of the movie where, who was it? Karen from The Office says, "You're not an a**, Mark. You're just trying so hard to be." And then he's like friend requesting the girl from the first scene. He's like refreshing. He's totally pathetic. He's a pathetic man. I don't care if he's a king of, 2 billion people.
Yeah, he's a loser. And I'm telling you this, like, you know, by the way, speaking of that, it's like Mark Zuckerberg's not popular, even though he's powerful.
Yeah.
He's not popular. People don't like Mark Zuckerberg. I think he's generally hated across the country by the left and the right. He's universally despised, I would say. Did you know who saw this? That in Ohio State, Joe Biden, the most popular president in history, was met by two dozen supporters to giving a speech. One of his first times out for his supporters to show up, and he was met by about 24 people showed up to support him on a street corner. Like, this is literally was his support. That actually came out. That was by Kristen Taylor from Gateway Pundit. And it's like, look at this. Look at the support. It's like six people. It's like students, actually, that just go to school there.
No, it's literally incredible. We did a speech at the University of Arizona in January. We had more people than that. We did a rally at the state capitol in Michigan. We had 10 times as many people as that. It's incredible how disengaged this population is with this president. Like, the ratio of their support to their displays of that support is just incredible.
It's like, it would almost be like a probable answer would be like, maybe they didn't actually all vote for him, but that's not realistic. I wouldn't go with that because that would be fake news.
Yeah.
I would be like, and I'd go, remember they freaked out about the Obama and Trump inauguration about who had more, basically saying that it was Russia collusion and Russia bots that got Trump in because he had less people at his inauguration. Well, nobody beat both of them better than Joe Biden. Remember this image actually from Joe Biden's inauguration when there was just at least 250 people there, at least because of security threats. Remember, it wasn't because he's the least popular president in American history who has fortified his way into office and nobody actually likes him. It was actually because of security threats, because of grandmas at the Capitol. And so they couldn't let anyone come even near to the Capitol. They had to keep everyone really far off. All of those people that were trying to come in, they had to put flags out for them instead to commemorate all the people that wanted to see Joe Biden get inaugurated. So then they couldn't go. So then they all went online. All 247,000 of them went online and watched his inauguration.
Yeah. No, it's very telling about an incoming regime when they have to fortify the grounds on which the inauguration will occur with, what was it, like 1,000 National Guards?
I think we're like 20. It was like 20,000.
Yeah, so much more than that.
Yeah, I think it was a standing military. Yeah. They had to use a military occupation to get him into office.
Yeah, fortified.
Fortify him into office.
Yeah.
You know, and that's honestly true. I think we have this too. Oh, yeah. Also, this is just to end with this. And you know that, you know, he's so healthy and so in office. You saw this, that they gave Kamala Harris now her own Resolute desk. You saw this. The Navy actually designed her own desk. They used it from reclaimed wood from the USS Constitution, like the oldest warship, and also from one of the sunken ships. They took some of the metal from it from Pearl Harbor, I think it was, and they made her own presidential desk. And the article literally was titled, the press release was, "A Desk Fit for the President," as if she is the president.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to need a desk like that to be doing president's work, which effectively she is. And also, I mean, it just, the boot fits so well. If there's anybody who has respect for the Constitution, it'd be Kamala Harris.
Yep.
That's all.
You know what they say? I saw it, but what's his name? So Jesse Kelly said, he said, "Hey, you're saying something." I think he said something under the regards of, like, you're saying she's filling the role
I mean, she's already started taking head of state calls. Yeah. She's handling the border crisis, apparently.
And he said she knows how to be, she already knows what it takes to be filled. So, yeah. You know.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
No, well, he was saying about filling the duties of the office.
Right.
Your mind went somewhere bad with it, and I think that says more about you.
That's the sexualization of women in our culture, which we fight against.
Thank
we
you.
Do. We do. We fight for that. Anyways, guys, we're going to talk about more of these in the future. We have a lot more of these Blue Non conspiracy theories. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I'm your top 17 host of the Best Worst Show on Blaze TV. I want to remind you guys that, you know, your support is so important to the show. We are demonetized everywhere. We want to continue to produce work. We have really good guests coming on. Some people that we have coming up in the near future, which I do promise you, we got like Marjorie Taylor Greene coming on. We got Gavin McGinnis agreed to come back on. We have more panels coming up where John will be able to roast some libs maybe. But it's going to be a good time. Make sure you follow John online at heckoffcommie.com. Also, feel free to follow his YouTube and follow him on Instagram and not on Twitter because he's banned.
True.
You can follow Sav and I on all social media linked below. I want to read you guys a couple reviews. Please remember right now that if you make it this far in the podcast, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, anywhere where you can, if you can, and it really helps out a lot. You might see your review read here. We had a review from MF7803, which says that this is entertaining and accurate. I accidentally bumped into these two on YouTube last week, and I'm impressed. In fact, I spent the better part of last week binging their content. You all have become one of my favorite podcasts. Accurate, necessary information delivered in an impeccable yet entertaining way. 5 stars from me. Thank you, Elijah and Savannah, for helping the fight against our radical government by keeping us informed. We also have a review from Leslie of New York City. It says, the best worst podcast that I listen to. I love listening to Elijah and Sav's takes on the woke mob and cultural issues that were plaguing us these days. Have more John Doyle on also.
So true. So true.
Yeah. Well, guys, for that, I also want to let you guys know a huge shout out to our sponsors and also to Blaze TV. Remember, you can always get the show direct at blazetv.com/Elijah to get a membership. It is the fastest, quickest, and easiest way to let Blaze know that you love this show. I just can't wait to announce some of the new stuff that's happening. It's just contracts and getting this stuff done. But you guys have outpoured your love and your devotion for this country by supporting free speech where it matters most at blazetv.com/Elijah. You get access to my content, Crowder's content, Beck's content, Levin, and a lot more, including Prather and other hosts that are coming on this year. Let's try to get John on Blaze. Let's petition them and let them know. Be like, I'm trying to get John on Blaze.
Should we petition or should we? I was going to say we get a Zoomer mob and just storm the Blaze offices.
Yeah, that'll really help. You know, I'm sure Zoomer mobs ratioing people's videos really
Your millennials can show up too. We can build a coalition. This infighting, it's not helping our cause.
Yeah, well, I'm not telling you guys where our office is, but don't come here. You'll probably get shot, to be completely honest. And on that note.
With the Northwest retention
holster. Yeah, with the Northwest retention holster and also the armed guards that will probably shoot you as we get evacuated. For the next time that I see you guys, please don't get shot and support us. Have a great rest of the week and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.